home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Hey, this is Chaka Khan, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
How are you and yours this morning? Welcome to Good Morning Weather York. I'm your host, King Downing. If you're waking up now, rise and shine with us. If you're already up, stay with us. And if you're one of the overnight essential workers and you're just getting home, let us tuck you in. It's a new day, a new week, a new decade. Make the most of it. Usually you'd be hearing me from Monday through Thursday, but we've got a special program for you. The music you heard was Feeling Good by Andy Bay and the Bay Sisters, our theme song. Today, we celebrate the life of a giant in activism and liberation theology through his words, music, and the moving tributes of those who worked with him. So stay with us.
We've had hundreds of folks brutalized, murdered by police officers. We have a God-given right to defend ourselves. If we sit back and allow injustices to happen to one, we are allowing injustices to happen to all. And so we urge everybody to wear black on October 22nd and come out in a day of protestation and outrage against police brutality in our city, in our state, in our nation, and even on the international level.
makes a soldier ride alone into battle. Can anybody...
Welcome to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. In the background, Heroes by the Commodores, and we also refer to Sheroes. Today, we celebrate the life of a giant in activism and liberation theology through his words, through music, and through the tributes of those in the struggle with him. We're talking about Father Lawrence Lucas. Father Lucas was born in Harlem Hospital in 1933 and was raised in Harlem. He was the first black priest to head a Catholic church in New York City and was pastor of Resurrection Roman Catholic Church in Harlem for 24 years. He co-founded the National Black Catholic Clergy Caucus and was active in the Black Catholic Rights Movement that started in the late 60s. In 1987, Father Lucas, along with Viola Plummer, Alambe Brath, and Coltrane Chimurenga, founded the December 12th Movement, which was an outgrowth of the December 12th Coalition responding to violent attacks and the murder of black people in New York State. As a community activist, Father Lucas was one of the community organizers for the 1990 Church Avenue boycott in Brooklyn. Lasting 18 months, the boycott was of a Korean store that began over an alleged assault of a Haitian woman by a Korean grocer. Father Lucas was a character witness for Youssef Salam during the Central Park 5 trial. He also served on our WBAI's local station board. Father Lucas joined the Ancestors this past April 18th. Let's take a listen to some of his words.
So I was the main pastor of Resurrection, and I was the youngest pastor in the archdiocese at that time. And I stayed there for 24 years, and with, as you know, completely active in the community. The idiotic FBI accused me of being the chaplain for the Eastern Seaboard for the Black Panther Party in those days. We introduced, when I was at St. Joseph, the Black Panther Breakfast Program was the first church. They took it on, and I had to fight a lot of folks in so doing. But told them I was in charge of it, and if you didn't like it, just don't send your kids. And these were some of the best breakfasts that many of these kids had. And then we had our, as Pastor of Resurrection, that included the whole northern area from 145th Street up to the river. And, you know, the big clashes with, at that time, Mayor Koch. He was childish enough or stupid enough to run to the Cardinal. At that time, it was Cardinal O'Connor, who they were very close friends. I sometimes suggested birds of a feather, but you know, that's nice. But in either case, that I called him Crutch. And, you know, this was a kind of stupidity. The mayor of the one of the largest cities in the world, I told the Cardinal, no, my dear friend, Judge Bruce Wright gave him that name. I simply added Edwina Isabel. Okay. So, you know, Crutch loved me from very dearly when they tried to put all of the... a men's shelter in Harlem because nobody else wanted it. We led the opposition there, and we kept about 1,500 cops tied up for about 3 or 4 weeks, and Koch decided he was losing money, so he changed the plan. Of course, that didn't endear me to the devil and too much. And then when Richard Green, the Board of Education chancellor, died, and they were looking for a new one, of course, I and my kind of folks group were pushing for Adlai Sanford. And I gave a talk at a big rally in front of the Board of Education and referred to the board where 86% of the inmates of the school system, and I called them that deliberately, were black and Latinos, and it was run by other folks who couldn't care less about them except their paycheck. Well, Koch didn't like that. So he ran to O'Connor and told O'Connor, he on television, I don't know if you remember those days, and here's the mayor of the city getting on television saying, calling me everything but the child of God, and O'Connor ought to fire me, at which I laughed and told O'Connor, why don't you tell him, you give him the permission to do it. But at that time, I made sure that O'Connor's, I said, don't even think about a transfer now, because you know what that would look like. So O'Connor used his head. And I stayed at Resurrection. I was only there about 18 years at that time, so I stayed another 7 before O'Connor asked me to take a transfer. That's when I said I had to live in Harlem, And I had done a little volunteer work at Rikers Island before, so I told him, you know, I'd be interested, because since most of the inmates, by coincidence, happen to be black and Latino, I will take a shot at the Department of Correction. So he okayed, and that's where I've been now for the last 10 and going on 11 years. One of the things that is really so paramount and clear is the racism that operates in this country and around the world due to this country, and particularly under the relationship of this clown. I remember telling Katja, I'll never live to see a mayor worse than you are and what you've been. And 11 months later, I had to eat crow and call up the slob and say, hey, I take that back, because this clown, namely Rudolph Giuliani, makes you look like an older girl. I meant boy, but you know, I have these slips of tongue sometimes. And because, under, you know, let me give you some numbers and you get the idea. About anywhere from 85 to 94% of the people being incarcerated now are primarily young black and Latino males, with a large growing number of women going to jail. 80% of the arrestees now are some way related to drugs. And of course, we don't have time to go into it now, but the diabolical Rockefeller drug law, of which any time other folks want to get over, they usually get over on our backs. You know, I hear some Negroes making a few dollars more than the masses of us, who sometimes give the nonsense, it's not black or white, it's green, see, it's money. Well, of course, that means you're either a fool and totally ignorant of the history of this country, or you've simply caved in. It's always been black, white, and green, namely white making the green on the backs of blacks. And not just slavery pre-Civil War, but the new slavery, of course, is the prison system and the welfare system for poor people, not the welfare system for rich people. So that when you have 80% or better of those being incarcerated now somewhere related to drugs, let me give you a very interesting coincidence. They call it the Department of Justice. I have other names, so you keep your names what you have. But at least according to their numbers, 80% of the drug users in the city of New York, and this is almost the same nationally, are upper middle class working white males. 80% of the drug users in the city of New York are upper middle class working white males. 86% of those arrested for drug use are young black and Latino males. Now, when you put those figures together, it's quite obvious what's going on. And the fellas in the streets know, for example, that when the police, most of them from out of town anyway, and you know where they come from, when the police make raids, they will make raids in Harlem and Bed-Stuy, Brownsville, Lower East Side, and Southeast Bronx, and so. But you're never going to see raids being made at American Express. You're never going to see raids at Solomon Brothers. You're never going to see raids at CSN. You're never going to see raids in the Hamptons on a weekend, when if they don't shoot you from what you look like trying to get in there, because you know the gates and so forth, you will find some of everybody who's who in this city, from judges on down, chiefs of police on down, you know, doing exactly what the next day they're going to be, some of them sentencing young blacks for far less.
WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Listener-sponsored radio. What you just heard was from an interview Father Lucas did with Paul McIntosh, and we thank Paul for letting us use it. Next, let's take a listen to Father Lucas's speech as part of a delegation of U.S. blacks to the 1990 Cuban symposium, Malcolm X Speaks in the 90s, on the 65th anniversary of his birth.
I want to begin first by expressing my sincere gratitude to the organization of this most important, the organizers of this most important conference or symposium, and secondly for inviting me to be a part of these distinguished people here in the country that has said no to U.S. imperialism. Secondly, I'm delighted that the symposium is centered around the 65th birthday of Malcolm and the 25th anniversary of his inglorious assassination. Apart from my mother, no other person has helped to shape my thinking and to turn me on to the books and the people that the white educational system, like the Roman Catholic seminaries, hide and are ignorant of and or don't want to know, than the years of personal interrelationship of Malcolm X in Harlem. While he would never describe himself as such, he was a master of liberation theology. Liberation is seen in the context of freeing or releasing from something or someone, but not in a vacuum, but geared towards someone or something. And putting those two ideas together, liberation theology is understood as a freeing of oneself, a people, or a nation for the purpose of being, doing, and becoming what God wants one or the people or the nation to be and to be about. It is releasing or breaking whatever bonds or chains that prevent the achievement of one's reason for being. There is a responsibility, not merely a right, but a responsibility to defend one's life and one's neighbor's life against any unjust aggression. Another point, in the nation of God, marriage and family life are seen as the nucleus of nation building. Hence, anything or anybody that hinders, obstructs, or destroys family life and marriage must be confronted and eliminated by a nation of God. Point F, if you will, in a nation, no one has a right, nor could you tolerate the theft of another man's freedom or labor for profit or any other purpose. The business of you shall not steal, contrary to popular misinterpretation, had nothing to do with taking somebody else's goods primarily, but the kidnapping, the enslaving, the kidnapping of another human being's freedom and labor for the purpose of enriching the few. Obviously, it is the foundation on which the United States and all imperialistic nations are based. Another point, in a nation, I use the term criminal justice system only because it is a term that is used in the States, but whatever you want to call it, but the criminal justice system, and this is what the bearing false witness is directly related to, is to be a vehicle of God's justice. Never can it be a tool for class, race, or economic oppression. I might add and aside that in the United States of America, then the whole criminal justice system is directly contrary to the biblical tradition.
You're listening to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We're doing a special Sunday program today. You would normally hear me from Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7. We're doing a tribute to Father Lawrence Lucas, and we've heard his voice. We've been listening to some music, and later on we're going to be hearing a memorial service, a virtual memorial service that was given in his name a little while back. And you'll be hearing some very well-known and prominent people talking about his life. But we want to take a moment and talk about WBAI. As you know, programs that feature people like Father Lucas are rare wherever you go on the dial in New York City and elsewhere. Probably no place said anything about the loss of Father Lucas and what he meant to the community except for WBAI. And we are always talking to you about making sure that you help us stay on the air to be able to bring you important tributes like this and also important information that's going on now. Think about it. Where else are you going to hear anything at all in the kind of detail about what's happening in Georgia, about what's happening in Minneapolis, about what's happening on the streets of New York, all around this new rash of shootings? And I will tell you, it's not a new rash. They're going on all the time. It's just most of the time there's not prominent video that people can see that tell the story. And that's what riles folks up. But it's going on all the time. And this is the place that you can go to hear it and to hear about it and to learn what you can do about it and what other people are doing about it. Where else can you hear the families, the mothers, Ms. Gwen Carr, Ms. Baez, Ms. Diallo? All of them were given prominent voices on this station and long after the headlines moved on. So we're asking you to become a member of the station by taking out a pledge for as little as $25 or renewing a membership if you already have one. Thank you very much. And also by becoming a WBAI buddy. And a WBAI buddy is somebody who makes a pledge to the station to have a regular monthly amount deducted from their account and placed in the station's account. It gives us regular income. It gives us the kind of confidence that we need month in and month out to know that we're going to be able to meet our goals and bring you the best in everything. And think of some of the programs. I mean, there isn't a topic that we don't cover that doesn't have some relevance to your life. I mean, think about major programs like Democracy Now! Worldwide, giving you coverage, the real story about what's happening. Pick another topic. Housing, we're there. LGBT issues, we're there. Bicycling alternatives, we're there. Criminal justice, we are there. We are there for you. And earlier we talked about Father Lucas going to Havana. Where else are you going to get the untold story about Cuba, the untold story about Venezuela, about all of these places where the corporate media is marching in lockstep with the companies who pay their advertising and with the politicians who buy enormous amount of ads coming up again at this time of year? So we're asking you to become a member. Please make a pledge to 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602, or give the number to WBAI.org.
Moving police shooting case from Baton Rouge in just a moment, but first to the latest incident of deadly force. A man was shot and killed by an officer during a traffic stop.
Only the victim remains the victim while the truth slips through the system. Yet the goodness never sees the light of day. Way. Somebody's colorful,
view slavery, of course, as a prison system and a welfare system for poor people, not the welfare system for rich people.
Father Lawrence Lucas, New York City's outspoken Catholic liberation theologist. Join this Sunday on WBAI for Black Priest, White Church, a tribute to Father Lawrence Lucas. Viola Plummer, Michael Tarif Warren, Professor James Small, Betty Dobson, Assemblyman Charles Barron, Borough President Eric Adams, and many others will share stories and honor his legacy. Hosted by yours truly, King Downing, this Sunday, May 31st from 6 to 8 a.m. on listener-sponsored WBAI.
Heroes make the sunrise in the morning.
WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Welcome back to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We're going to be here until 8 o'clock. We're doing a special on Father Lawrence Lucas. He recently joined the Ancestors. We're going to be turning now to a recent tribute that was given to Father Lucas by December 12th Movement. December 12th Movement is an organization that has been active on many issues, from police brutality to gentrification to stop the violence, put the guns down, we have a nation to build. They are honoring the fact that Father Lucas was one of the co-founders of the December 12th Movement. And there is a cross-section of well-known, prominent activists who all spoke at this tribunal. So let's take a listen. We start off with Viola Plummer, co-founder of the December 12th Movement.
In practically every precinct in Manhattan, from the 2-3 to the 2-8 to the 8-1, it was always Father Lucas that we had to call to say, Jack, you know, these things have gone absolutely wild, and they locked up my children, and I can't have that. So Father Lucas would immediately arrive, you know, and the respect that he garnered, the absolute authority by which he entered to do his work was just outstanding. We marveled at Father Lucas. We were thankful that he was one of the members after that debacle upstate with what was the young lady's name? You see how old I am? Tawana Brawley. Father Lucas was the one that said in our coalition meeting that this has to continue. This has to be a movement. And so around the table was Train, Ilombe, Abubadika, Father Lucas, and who am I missing? Me. Right? It was the five of us. And he made sure. He said, listen, first up, first and foremost, we don't take any money from the government, period. No poverty program money, no money from the government. He said that because what it will do, there's a word that they create and uncreate, called malfeasance, mal this. And he said, so that with this kind of formation, you got to get the money, as Abubadika said, the hard way, to run what it is that we wanted to do. And that was the continued struggle against police, against the horrendous conditions that our people lived in. The housing, Con Edison, you name it. We were in all of those struggles, and Father Lucas was so cool, y'all. He was so cool. And his criticisms were always building blocks. They were always, no one was immune that, okay, you're right with me, I'm not going to criticize you. That ain't how it went. No one was immune. So we are saddened, of course. You know, we are without one of our most staunchest soldiers, but we are with the teachings that he gave us, that will never leave, that's what we are with, that's what we have.
Veteran movement lawyer Michael Tarif Warren.
I think of Father Lucas, the most dear memories that I have, and I felt like I was fairly close with him as well. A lot of private conversations, but he was, what impressed me about Father Lucas that I loved was that, two things. He was a brother of great compassion, and not only compassion, but compassion for those who were oppressed by a system of oppression. It's like in the early days when we were children, and a bully is operating with grandiose bullyism on the playground, and you've got someone who comes to the aid of those who are being bullied. In fundamental parlance, he was a fighter against bullyism. And when I say bullyism, I'm talking about some people might define as institutional systematic racism, and other people might define in the same tongue as being colonialism. But he just hated those conditions and those realities that adversely impacted upon certain people's lives, depending on what geography you were in at the time. And I think that vigor of disdain was even more profound when his own people were subjected to those type of conditions. And I think that's why you were talking earlier, about how you could call him at any hour, at any time of the day or night, and say, we need you. We are under attack. Our people, our children are under attack. Our institutions are under attack. Whatever level of influence he had, and he had a great deal, he had that type of built-in vigor that made him respond forthwith, as Roger and I would say, forthwith. And that was based on his love for his people. And it was also based on, in my opinion, his disdain for oppression, his disdain for bullyism, his disdain for colonialism. And I thought about a saying that he had, and he would tell you this over and over again in various instances, and that is, and I'm sure all of us have heard him say it from one time or the other, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. And he not only meant that, because we talked about it, not only meant that in the literal sense. For example, if there was a Trump follower that approached him in a deadly manner, hey, he'd be ready to defend themselves in a deadly manner. You understand? And, but in the figurative sense, he was able to jump into the fray of any subjective or, a battle that involved the degradation or the attempts to degrade his people. And he would have the same level of vigor that would be employed, but it'd be employed in a different manner. But the same level of vigor that would be employed in that self-defense scenario that I just described. So he was in my opinion, he was a consummate revolutionary. And he was able to understand and make the analogy between systems of oppression that affected people who were similarly situated in this country to those who were similarly situated in countries on the continent of Africa, wherever oppression existed. In Latin America, he had a total holistic understanding of why those situations existed, who was behind the perpetuation of those situations, et cetera. So that's what I loved about him, among many other things. And I'm going to miss him.
WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Cordell Clear, Harlem community activist, district leader, and former chief of staff to Councilman Bill Perkins.
I'm just honored to be here today to talk about Father Lucas and what he did for our community. You know, he framed our concerns so clearly and so accurately, consistently, with such strength and such great conviction. He was never shy. He never hesitated to call out racism, call out oppression, call it out for what it was, you know? And he was so ahead of the on top of all the issues, and always willing and able to speak truth to power. And you know, I'm very saddened by his loss. It's bigger than people know, especially for the next generation and the next. And in a time when people are not speaking, when people are not representing the way they need to represent for us and the pain that we're all in right now, he's going to be truly missed. You know, I'm a Baptist, and in the Baptist church, traditionally, we sing a hymn when saints pass on, and it's "May the works I've done speak for me." And today, right now, his works are screaming and shouting out against oppression and all that he did. He was a drum major for justice. He was a lover of humanity. And, you know, I'm going to keep what you said earlier, Viola. You know, we are left with the teachings he left with us. And I'm going to remember that, because that is the example that we should all follow. That we should not hesitate to speak out against oppression, COVID-19, and we need to move forward, because this was an atrocity against us. And I don't want to deviate, but I'm just saying that it's just so timely that in this time that we lose someone like him, and all I can do to celebrate him and remember him is to be more like him. And that's what I'm going to continue doing. And a huge loss for all of us, and I thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Professor James Small, Pan-Africanist scholar and activist.
Father was a father, brother, a lot of things. We go back to me trying to get him to marry me 50 years ago, and he was on vacation, so I had to find another priest. But he married my youngest daughter, and all of my children went to school, and all of them graduated from that school.
Wow.
When they ran away, Father was in the car with me, going to Jersey and Baltimore, finding them and bringing them back home.
Uh-huh.
And keeping me from whipping their behinds, you know, when we got him back home. He was while I worked with him at the school. I think I was president of PTA about 4 years running. This man was the consummate revolutionary. He was the most politically well-read.
Yeah.
When we met, I was an imam, and he was this priest who was Malcolm's friend. And I'm trying to understand, why do you want to stay in Christianity? And he made the best case. This is where my people are, and this is how I can raise them up. And when you think of the thousands upon thousands of young people that went through resurrection, and I see a lot of them because my children and them are still, that alone is the most extraordinary achievement. And when he went into the prison system, I was one of the first persons he invited into those barges to give lectures on Black history, even when the union opposed it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he became the head of the union after a while. He was the most courageous human being. But he had a sense of rightness and a sense of justice.
Yes.
And he managed to use that when he stepped forward, and everybody understood it. I remember on this, the last piece, one of my sons, the youngest one, had gotten arrested. Oh, I had no money for a lawyer, so who do you call? You call Father Lucas. And when he walks into the precinct, he walks out with my child. You understand? He had that kind of respect across the board because of the character that the man was. And he didn't take a back step to any form of injustice ever.
No.
So, you know, I've eaten in his kitchen. He's eaten in my kitchen. He got angry with me one day once, because I wanted to know why he was blessing this man's Cadillac. So he told me, well, when you can afford one, you come to the church. I'll bless your Cadillac too. I never did afford a Cadillac to have it blessed. But that was, and still is, one of the most fantastic revolutionary minds we've had, because he understood politics. He understood the culture of his people. He understood the history, and he understood the enemy. And he knew how to make all of those pieces fit. So I don't see it as a loss, you know, in our Yoruba tradition, of which I'm a part. He's gone to his village. He did his work. So we are whispering in your ear, Father, tell the ancestors to send you back as another baby, Aloha, we call that. You come back again, grow up again to manifest the greatness that you were this time. I'm going to have to leave early because I left another conference, but I would have closed out that conference to be at Father's conference, because he was a man that was the epitome of Black love. He was the epitome of a kind of a tolerance and a patience. Now, he will kick your behinds when you're out of line.
Oh, yeah.
He had the tolerance and the patience to let you grow. Because when I met Father, I didn't know nothing. I was a stupid young boy. I thought that being militant was yelling and screaming. And he kind of helped me to learn you got to have more in your mind. You got to have more in your understanding than just screaming in the streets. And I grew up under this man. You know, him and Abubadika were my fathers. And I learned how to move politically in the world because of them. And so we love you, old man. You're with the ancestors. Tell them what our conditions are like. Tell them the kind of help we need. And tell them we want not to send somebody back in your place. We want them to send you back. We've got a bunch of young people making new bodies every day. So come back. You're the energy from this universe. And you've hewn it into the most extraordinary personality we could have ever had. I love you, my brother. I admire you. And I will try to do the work you were doing and follow the things you were saying. And that would be my memories of you. Peace and blessings.
Keith Wright, former New York State Assemblyperson.
I've known Father Lucas my whole life.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, yes, he was a revolutionary. Yes, he didn't. He always questioned authority. And yes, he was a soldier for all of our people. But what gets lost is that Father Lucas was an absolute intellectual as well.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his book right now, Black Priest, White Church, which talks about racism in the Catholic Church. And I'll never forget, he and my father wrote the foreword to this book for Dr. Lucas. And I'll never forget that Father Lucas and my father had the biggest fight on Lenox Avenue one day, because he said, Father Lucas, that my father stole the name of his book. That the name of my father's book was Black Robes, White Justice. And that there was a competition as who would, whose book would get published first. But Father Lucas, he was always the same with me, no matter how old I was. If there was a demonstration, we were there together. If I had to get someone out of a police station late at night, we were there together. And I like what Michael Warren talked about, that he would always respond with deadly force. Yes, I remember Father Lucas used to show me his pistol all the time. And what really got me, what I think would really, really bothered white folks, was that Father Lucas knew exactly who he was. Mm-hmm. He was not defined by anyone. He didn't have to think about who he was. He always knew who he was. There was never a doubt. So when you don't have any doubts, you scare the hell out of some people. So mm-hmm. Father Lucas always taught me to be secure in myself and to always do the right thing, what I thought that was. And he was always there to support. I will miss him. We can look for the next Father Lucas. We have to make our next Father Lucas. But even if we can't find the Father Lucas, we can find someone that's has a fraction of the commitment that Father Lucas has. That would be just as good for what's going on right now. I will miss him. Father Lucas, look down upon us and keep protecting us.
Betty Dobson, founder CEMOTAP, the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People.
Well, this Puerto Rican called me. She said, who told you to have Father Lucas speaking at Harlem Hospital? Oh, I thought she was mixed up. I said, what are you talking about? Who gave you permission? Well, you know, when I was young, I used to use, you know, colorful language. And this happened when I was young. I said, have you lost your mind? Father Lucas is revered. Father Lucas is a prelate that we all look up to. Who do you think you are? She says, well, I'm going to have you fired. I said, fire me. I'll use the word again. Fire me. Now, I'm old now, so I don't use those words anymore. But I said, you got to be kidding. The next day, my boss, who was black, called me in, and he said, Betty, what happened? What went on? I don't know. What are you talking about? Well, I understand. I forget that woman's name. She said that you cursed her out. I said, absolutely not. I didn't curse her. She cursed me. She said that Father Lucas had no business speaking in a meeting at Harlem Hospital. So he said, well, Betty, you can't talk to them like that. I said, well, hey, I love Father Lucas. We were very delighted. His message was very powerful. And he asked me to apologize. I said, absolutely not. Well, from that day on, whenever I saw Father Lawrence Lucas, he would say, Betty, you got a job now? I say, yeah, but I'm not telling you about it because I don't want you to get me fired again. So my memory of Father Lucas is that message that he gave to the management at Harlem Hospital on that day during African History Month. He was dynamic, as always, articulate, as always, a fabulous person. A wonderful man, a loved in the death, and he's earned his rest. You know, he was fighting a long time, yeah. And every time I see the word Mayor Koch, I think of Father Lucas, who renamed him for all of us, Mayor Koch.
Oh,
wraps up the first hour of our Good Morning Nueva York special. The special is a tribute to Father Lawrence Lucas, liberation theologist and New York City activist. We're going to be continuing for another hour with the program. I'm your host, King Downing, and we have a lot more to come. And we will be having more music and honoring the legacy of this great, great man. I'd also like to use these closing moments to urge you to become a WBAI member, to join the station or renew your membership in the name of us and our work. I'm also asking you to become a WBAI buddy in the name of Good Morning Nueva York. We're coming to you on Sunday to bring you a special program, but also to reach out to you to see whether we might get you to join the station. Become a member, become a key part of what's going on here. We really count on you. The corporations are having a field day now with the pandemic, and we are there calling them out. Calling them out when the gig workers are trying to get living wages and trying to get health conditions, when the health workers are also standing up as the CUNY instructors and staff are battling, all being cut. We are the ones who are bringing you the real story. So please become a member. Call us at 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org. Thank you. We'll be continuing with the testimonials from the Tribune, and join us for the next hour.
As a prison system and a welfare system for poor people, not the welfare system for rich people.
Father Lawrence Lucas, New York City's outspoken Catholic liberation theologist. Join this Sunday on WBAI for Black Priest, White Church, a tribute to Father Lawrence Lucas. Viola Plummer, Michael Tarif Warren, Professor James Small, Betty Dobson, Assemblyman Charles Barron, Borough President Eric Adams, and many others will share stories and honor his legacy. Hosted by yours truly, King Downing, this Sunday, May 31st, from 6 to 8 a.m. on listener-sponsored WBAI.
Heroes make the sunrise in the morning. Heroes make the moon shine bright at night. Heroes make our lives a little stronger.
Coming up next, part two of Good Morning Nueva York special, a tribute to Father Lawrence Lucas.
Bird flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Drifting by, you
how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me.
How are you and yours this morning? Welcome to the second hour of the Good Morning Nueva York special. I'm your host, King Downey. If you're waking up now, rise and shine with us. If you're already up, stay with us. And if you're one of the overnight essential workers and you're just getting home, let us tuck you in. It's a new day, a new week, a new decade. Make the most of it. Usually you'd be hearing me from Monday through Thursday, but we've got a special program for you. The music you heard was Feeling Good by Andy Bay and the Bay Sisters, our theme song. Today, we celebrate the life of a giant in activism and liberation theology through his words, music, and the moving tributes of those who worked with him. So stay with us.
We've had hundreds of folks brutalized, murdered by police officers. We have a God-given right to defend ourselves. If we sit back and allow injustices to happen to one, we are allowing injustices to happen to all. And so we urge everybody to wear black on October 22nd and come out in a day of protestation and outrage against police brutality in our city, in our state, in our nation, and even on the international level.
King Downing. In the background, Heroes by the Commodores, and we also refer to Sheroes. Today, we celebrate the life of a giant in activism and liberation theology through his words, through music, and through the tributes of those in the struggle with him. We're talking about Father Lawrence Lucas.
Father Lucas was born in Harlem Hospital in 1933 and was raised in Harlem. He was the first black priest to head a Catholic church in New York City and was pastor of Resurrection Roman Catholic Church in Harlem for 24 years. He co-founded the National Black Catholic Clergy Caucus and was active in the Black Catholic Rights Movement that started in the late 60s. In 1987, Father Lucas, along with Viola Plummer, Alambe Brath, and Coltrane Chimurenga, founded the December 12th Movement, which was an outgrowth of the December 12th Coalition responding to violent attacks and the murder of black people in New York State. As a community activist, Father Lucas was one of the community organizers for the 1990 Church Avenue boycott in Brooklyn. Lasting 18 months, the boycott was of a Korean store that began over an alleged assault of a Haitian woman by a Korean grocer. Father Lucas was a character witness for Yousef Salam during the Central Park 5 trial. He also served on our WBAI's local station board. Father Lucas joined the ancestors this past April 18th. We continue with part two of Father Lucas that was recently held because of the pandemic. Turn out the reflections and memories and the tributes to the commitment of Father Lucas were just as strong nonetheless. Graham Witherspoon, founding member of 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care.
Lawrence Lucas was a priest. He was not a radical priest. He was a priest who exemplified the priesthood of Jesus Christ. He was the one who advocated for the poor. When you were imprisoned, he visited you. When you were hungry, he fed you. When you were sick, he came to see you and to nurse you. Those are the tenets of a priest. Father Lucas was not a Roman Catholic priest. He was a priest sent by God to minister to God's people. And I think of Dr. Howard Thurman. He wrote a book in 1949, Jesus and the Disinherited. And he said that the poor who are to be protected by the system and by society walk through life in fear. And invariably out of that fog of life, they are victimized by the very system that is to protect them. Father Lucas was in the system, but he was not part of the system. I remember during the African American Day parades, he would show up and he would march with the law enforcement contingent to let people know that he, although working with law enforcement, took a position that was juxtaposed to some of the things that law enforcement was doing. For many years, he appeared on Community Cop out of Manhattan Neighborhood Network with Michael Graves and the others discussing the issues that are affecting and impacting our people. Father Lucas, the priest. Truth is controversial. It's always controversial. If truth is not spoken, everybody goes along to get along. Someone has to speak truth and speak that truth to power. He was like the Apostle Paul, another black man identified in the scripture in the book of Acts as a Nubian. And it was Paul that preached, regardless of what people wanted to hear, Paul preached the truth. And he held people accountable to what they were doing at all times. Father Lucas supported the Black Panther movement in the breakfast programs. Something which every state is concerned with at this time during this COVID shutdown. Children have to be fed. Poor children have to be fed. Were that not for the Black Panther Party, were that not for the support of Father Lucas, that program would not be enacted. Not only has the program been enacted, it is law. It is federal law. So we need to understand that we have to fight. Don't get weary in well-doing, but to do what we were called to do, not complain about it. Do what we were called to do. Leave a legacy for those coming behind us. Be an example to those coming behind us. That is what Father Lucas has done. I'm so honored to have known him. I hadn't seen him in the last few years, but I know he kept the faith. Absolutely. And he kept it moving. I had taken a lot of notes, just as had been stated before. But as we move on without him, we have a prototype to work from. And we can build upon what he left. We, whether a Muslim, an atheist, a Christian, it makes no difference. Because all of these tenets are the tenets that build a society, that build a community, and protect the poor. And of all things, we should be looking out for the poor and the unfortunates. God bless the memory of our dear father, Lawrence Lucas.
Eric Adams, Brooklyn Borough President.
Thank you. Thank you. And I really appreciate Colette and Viola for really bringing this together. During these times when we can't be in the same space, it's good to be able to share the same energy around this. And I'm really happy to see Brother Witherspoon, who really called the days of not only the Guardians, but 100 Blacks and law enforcement. Father Lucas is really the moral conscience of the Guardians Association, the Grand Council of Guardians. He was the go-to person. And whenever he had issues in law enforcement, it was an honor for us to receive that call from him to navigate the process. And I'm happy as I look over in the corner of my machine and I see that this is recorded because it's so important for young people to understand that being a person that pushed change is not your ability to Twitter or to Google or to Facebook. You have to be willing to get in the streets. And Father Lucas was not afraid to get in the street. And when you look at some of the names of the people who are here, a Charles Barron, Brother Omawali Clay, Brother Tariq, the names are unbelievable. We did not make the gains in this city merely because people want to be philosophical and be intellectual in how they theorize about moving change. Those fights were real fights in the streets, and that desire not to engage the way Father Lucas engaged. He was extremely clear. He would not back down. He would not allow anyone to harm Black people and turn around. And so the probably 200 people now that are hearing this, it's important for us to share this recording. You know, people often believe men like Father Lucas lived in years long ago. No, during the times, you go back and play the reel and you see during those 70s, those 80s, those 90s, through the Koch years, through the fights that we've had during the Dinkins years, through the battles of the Giuliani years, you saw the consistency of Father Lucas, of really being on the front line, willing to lead the fight from the front. And this organization, your legacy speaks for itself. And so the mere fact I'm able to say something about a person I've known over 40 years personally, and during the times when my body went through the physical symptoms of being afraid, he was a person that was able to minister to me and the other members of our organization to tell us to stay strong. And he was our conscience. If we didn't do what we were supposed to do, he didn't have any problem with getting us in the room and telling us this is what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to stand up. And we were willing to hear what he had to say. I love Father Lucas, as well as I love all of you that are on this Zoom call and what you have contributed to the upliftment of Black people in this city and across the globe. People watched us across the entire globe, through the anti-apartheid movement, going down in Mississippi with Brother Coffin, the African-American mayor was arrested, some of the movement on the continent of Africa. All of that was born out of here, and we should not allow anyone to rewrite our history and who were our heroes during that time. And today we are memorializing the life of one of our most prolific, intelligent heroes of all time. And he was truly the conscience of the movement here in this city. And so I cannot thank you, Viola and Colette, for just giving me the opportunity to record my words on how much I appreciated my brother, Father Lucas, Father Lawrence Lucas. Let his spirit live on in all of us. Just the mere fact we knew him stated a lot. And I'm a firm believer of our death is not the signature, but our life is what we live. And this never has been the destiny. It was always the journey. And this brother had a magnificent journey. And we could only hope to have half the life that Father Lawrence Lucas had lived. Thank you very much for allowing me to be a part of this. Thank you.
WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Omawale Clay, December 12th Movement.
Father Lucas was one of the most sarcastic brothers I knew. Father Lucas never bit his tongue and would always tell you straight up in your face what he thought at that moment. If he thought Omawale was gaining too much weight, he would say, Omawale, you're getting fat. What does that mean? Straight in your face and in front of everybody else. So I always remember, and as Brother Eric said, one of the things about Father Lucas, he was never afraid. You know, one of the greatest threats to our oppressor in this world is a black man who is not afraid, because he has nothing to lose except his chains. And Father Lucas was a priest, and he believed in it.
That's right.
And so the institution was not his structure. It was what it believed in. And so he actually believed that poor people did not need to be poor. He believed that we needed to fight oppression, and he lived that. And so during the times, so many times at Resurrection Church, we were in the basement having our rallies and our meetings. He turned over that structure to the movement.
Yeah.
Turned over his life to the movement. And as Sister Viola said, some of our youth would get in trouble. Father Lucas would be the first one at the precinct to get them out. But for me, let me say this. You know, when our people cook, we put in so many ingredients and we come out with such fantastic recipes and meals. But for me, there was Ilombe Brath. There was Coltrane Shimarenga. There was Father Lucas. I mean, do you hear these folks? Do you hear these folks? Oh, and our brother Sonny Abubadika Carson and our sister Viola. And what a hell of a collection of black revolutionaries. And I can only say, I remember Sonny used to say, you know, Omawale, you're the voice of our movement, because I was always on the megaphone. But one of the proudest things I had to do was introduce these brothers and sisters, because the qualities that they have, you know, I was not alive in the time of Marcus Garvey. I was not alive in the time of so many revolutionaries here in the domestic situation and on the continent of Africa. We can't choose what period we live in. We can't choose that. But what we can do is look back at the periods that were and look at the one we're in. And I say, I lived during the time of Father Lawrence Lucas. I lived during this time. And the memories of that are so sharp and so clear of what we accomplished and what we did.
Yes.
No justice, no peace. Whose streets? Our streets. What's coming? War. Close the crack house. Who's on close the crack house? This combination of brothers and sisters was probably one of the most powerful expressions of black liberation this city has ever seen in that sense. And I've always been proud to have been part of that experience. I can remember Father Lucas giving President Aristide a Malcolm X T-shirt of resurrection.
Yes.
President Aristide, who was the curse of Western imperialism, because he actually believed in administering to our people. And there was Father Lucas. I have this picture in my mind of him handing Father Aristide a Malcolm X t-shirt and bridging that gap of who we were in that sense. So I just want to say to all the brothers and sisters who I'm looking at on this screen right now, from Father Morales to Eric to Charles to Brother Witherspoon to my brother Professor Smalls. I want you to know about Professor Smalls. The first time I remember meeting Professor Smalls, he said, "Here, Mawali, here's an amplifier from City College. Y'all take this stuff. City College don't need it." And I said, "This brother is straight ahead." And it was so long ago, Professor Smalls, he don't really care about that. But I always remembered that, a servant of the people in that sense. And so we'll miss Father Lucas, but I think the most important thing is to live Father Lucas and to stand on his shoulders. And as I sent out to a number of people, this sister who's a teacher just recently sent out a thing saying she was teaching somebody about Paul Robeson. Nobody in her historically black college class had ever heard of Paul Robeson. So she got a video and taught them who Paul Robeson was. And that's what we have to do with our freedom fighters. We have to make sure that people never forget or not know there was a brother as brave and as courageous and steadfast as Father Lawrence Lucas, Annie Lumbe Braff, and Sonny Abubadika Carson, and our brother Coltrane Shimaranga. And I'm so happy and proud of the fact that one of the leaders of the December 12th movement, our sister Viola Prummer, is as steadfast and as strong as she ever was. And she's on Make Keith Remember What He Said. I remember what he said too, Viola. It was during the crash, and it was what was happening. I remember, we'll tell them and stuff. But straight ahead to you, Eric, straight ahead to Brother Witherspoon, to our brother Professor Smalls, and to all of y'all, straight ahead, Black Power, we will win.
Charles Barron, New York State Assemblyman.
I can't tell you what he said about some of the leaders, because he had some choice words for a lot of our leaders who he felt and we felt that were just selling us out and doing the wrong thing. But he was always, it seemed like almost a deep spiritual thing. He would always call me in my greatest time of need and have some very good counseling for me. But what I appreciate most about Father Lucas is in the field of theology. A lot of people didn't realize how difficult it was for him to be in the Catholic tradition and being a revolutionary and being in the streets with the December 12th movement. You're talking about the Pope. He was taking on the Pope with the December 12th movement. To me, in theology, we always have a problem with our preachers who do a lot of priestly dimension on preaching on Sunday, talking about our personal sins and what we've done wrong and how we can get better or our personal prosperity. But he was a prophetic priest, and the prophetic priest would call us to question spiritual wickedness in high places. He would call us to question the oppressors of our time like no one else could. And to do that, you get a lot of flack in the church. It looks good in the street and when he's on TV and with us. But to really be a part of a Catholic church and have that kind of prophetic dimension to his ministry, where he didn't just talk about our personal sin, but he talked about the sin of capitalism and the sin of police terrorism and the sin of racism and all of the things that we fought for, he was there for us. And he had a sense of humor. He was funny, but he was very serious. So he's going to be sorely missed in our movement. It's going to be hard to think that we're going to go days without getting a call from Father Lucas. He's been at City Hall with us a few times. We honored him and showed our appreciation to him. And I'm just calling on Keith Wright and Bill Perkins. We have to co-name streets after Father Lucas. One of the ways that we can always remember him is, as Omawali said, we'll never forget him. If that street sign up there says Father Lawrence Lucas and put it in a strategic place, and when the youth ask on a street sign. And we should think about naming schools and other things after him, institutions, so that he will never die. He will always live in the African community as we fight for our liberation, because he lived and died for our liberation, and he must live forever by putting his name in our community and telling his story.
Father Frank Morales, All Saints Episcopal Church.
Frank, before you start, the old days, it was like Frank Morales. But now, of course, it is Father Frank Morales. Same Frank Morales, though, y'all. Frank.
Thank you. Thank you, Viola. Listen, I'm just going to be very brief because I've been so moved by what everyone's had to say. Back in the mid-70s, I had the honor and pleasure of taking James Cone's first course at Union Seminary, which, needless to say, opened my eyes as a young seminary student. Following that, in the mid-80s, about a decade later, I had the opportunity and pleasure to meet Father Lucas, who embodied the liberation theology that James Cone was teaching at Union. And all I can say is that, as Mr. Weatherspoon said before, concretely and practically love our neighbors, to speak truth to power, you know, the truth of the gospel, which he took to heart. And all I can say is that he has been an inspiration to me my entire adult life and in my ministry. We had occasions to meet over the course of the years. I don't claim to have known him, but nonetheless, he strived to make real the mandate of our faith, which is to concretely build a world of justice and love in the here and now, and not in some other realm. So in any case, I'm very happy to be here today. I've got a vestry meeting I've got to go tend to now. But I just want to say that if we can hope in the future that we raise up other folk who are, particularly in my own case, my own bias within the religious community, regardless as to what the institutional, the names are, as Graham was saying earlier, priests, men and women who embody this fearlessness, who live in that spirit and take on the challenges of creating a real life for all of people, particularly those who are suffering, those who are oppressed under this capitalist system that we're living in. And I'm looking forward to the day when we can all, again, once come together, once this all passes, and get together face to face, and maybe do something. You're all invited to All Souls Church up at 114 in St. Nicholas. I know December 12th have been there a couple times, and we're looking to do something maybe in the future to commemorate Father Lucas again, because there's no shortage of instances when we need to memorialize his name and the revolutionary tradition and the revolutionary theological tradition that he represents. So may his soul rest in peace and rise in glory, as we say. And I want to thank you all. And it's again, it's been an honor and a pleasure to be here with you all today. Thank you.
Raise them up higher, let them fall down. Raise them up higher, let them drop on down.
You're listening to Good Morning Nueva York on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. We're going to be coming back to the last part of our program, but I wanted to take a minute to ask you to support WBAI. We are looking for people to become BAI buddies. That is, to become a regular member who has a monthly donation from your account to the station's account. Something that we can count on. Money that we know will be there. Please think about doing that. Go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, or to 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Thank you in advance for your support.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We're going to be here until 8 o'clock. We're doing a special on Father Lawrence Lucas. Nana Camille Yarborough, performance artist, author, and cultural activist.
Father Lucas was of that spirit. He was a justice man. He was different from the priest that I knew when I was a young girl going to Catholic Church in Chicago. He didn't let the robe stop him when he was up in church doing the sacrifice, doing the ceremony. And then the last one time I attended church in Chicago, the priest told us about the religion, that he took up a collection, and then he ushered us out of the church. I never went back. It was so refreshing and heartwarming to meet and to hear Father Lucas here in New York City, because he was about justice. He was about much more than the roads, much more than the great buildings and the edifices and the history. He was about reality and what's happening right now. It's interesting that way back in the 70s and the 80s, he was talking about the victimization of African Americans, talking about things that are still going on with us today, against us today. The Voting Rights Act, things being taken away from us, the poison water, all of that, the educational system where our children are again being miseducated, never really stopped, although you and others and all of us have made a difference and changed things somewhat for the better. He was speaking of that with passion and with in-depth, and he would join the unions, he joined every board he could in order to make it better. That was the priest that I knew and I loved and I admired. And I admired also what he had on his left ankle, if you know what I mean. So it's an honor to come and speak of him. He will always be in my mind. And I hope that there are other priests who are somewhat on that level, not on that level, but in that direction. But I know of none of them who have done what he did, how he spoke out, how he went to the streets the way he did. And that's why I'm honored, really, to come and say a few words of my love for him, love for what he has done, and my love for justice. And that's what he supported. That's what he demanded for our people. He was not soft-spoken, as everyone there has talked about. And that's what's needed today, because somebody is not listening. They don't really know, it seems to me, who they're talking about. They don't really understand the people who have come through what we have come through and maintain the kind of character that our people have maintained. They better look again, but we are in a fight right now, and we have to push our agenda, our righteousness, our truth, and the fight for justice for our people. It is sad, it is horrible to look around and see what we have accomplished has been attacked, and our people today being taken off by the police, by who thinks they have a right to demean us. So again, the struggle continues. That's what you guys say, that's what we all say, that's what our Father said. So he understood the victimization of Black people, of Black Americans, of Africans all over the world, and he fought it best. My love will never stop. My admiration for my words in support of him will never end. And I thank you for holding this celebration of him, acknowledgement of what he has done and still does, because he's still here. You know, we're talking about it, and we will never stop talking about it, because he was a man of justice and love. And thank you, December 12th, for pulling this together.
Some of our colleagues, comrades, first from Sister Dakwi Kioni Sadiki. She wanted to say, greetings, free the land. This is Dakwi Kioni Sadiki. I send this message on behalf of Baba Herman Ferguson and Mama Yalua Ferguson and the Malcolm X Commemoration Committee. We extend our love and gratitude for the life, legacy, and activism of Father Lawrence Lucas, for his contribution to the Black freedom struggle. Thank you. From Sister Gail Walker, thank you for this important memorial webinar program for Father Lucas. given the critical contribution that he made to our community? Can there be a campaign to erect a statue in his memory to help keep our memory of Father Lucas alive? Father Lawrence Lucas, presente. And lastly, from Rosemary Mealy. Rosemary Mealy also sends her greetings. Rosemary, forgive me, I do not see your full message here. But Rosemary Mealy sends her greetings as well.
Ashley, the granddaughter of Pat Savage, Father Lucas's secretary. Father Lucas mentored Ashley.
Thank you so much for letting me join you guys on this. I really appreciate it. Listening to all you speak about his amazing work throughout the years is honestly very overwhelming. On the day that he passed, I actually wrote something just because it like came to me and I just wanted to share. And so I wanted to say thank you, Colette and Roger, for letting me, you know, speak this. I never wanted this day to come, not because he was an influential civil rights activist. I never wanted this day to come, not because he served as a chaplain at Rikers Island for 14 years and was highly respected. I never wanted this day to come, not because he was a highly regarded spiritual leader and had an impressive resume since he was ordained in 1959. I never wanted this day to come because he was my confidant, my best friend, and my rock. He was the father to me I didn't deserve, but was blessed with. The educator I sometimes didn't want, and the man with the big heart. He was the man who checked up on me almost every day since I moved to LA 4 years ago. Never will I have a conversation with my best friend again. Checkup calls from him will cease to exist, and a part of me died when he died. However, I thank you, God, for giving all of us someone so special. True evidence of this is when people grieve so hard for you, which I know many of us are, including myself. It is because he was truly loved, and at least now heaven got a little bit more fun. Let's take with us his legacy of strength in the midst of adversity, and remember his iconic saying, if you truly want peace, you must seriously struggle for justice. Thank you guys so much for letting me join and listen to you. Seriously overwhelming. He will truly be missed.
Ashley, thank you. I know the difficulty.
Thank you.
Dr. James McIntosh, co-chair of CEMOTAP, the Committee to End Media Offensive to African People.
Basically, I can only repeat the same things that everyone has said. Father Lucas is going to be tremendously missed. He was an unusual priest. I once said that one of the times when we had a one of the fundraisers for Lombe up at the Axis for System, also up at the state office building, that he was the only priest I would call father. And he was, as you said, as you have pointed out, a revolutionary. And I think the reference to touching his left ankle had to do with something that got people might not remember, the botnik scandal. But Father Lucas defended himself well then. And in each instance that I've ever seen him, we've had him speak at CEMOTAP multiple times. I've seen him defend in a debate. One, is Christianity good for black people? What he was pointing out was that it mainly wasn't the Christianity that people were against. It was against the hypocrisy and people not living according to the dictums of some people, of the person that many people consider revolutionary, which is the New Testament. We also have had him come and speak about Trump. He lived and expressed, and as long as we think about the information that he passed to us and the perspective that he took of a revolutionary priest, I do believe that he will live in our community.
WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org.
As we continue to name some of the people that could not join us, Dr. Leonard Jeffries wanted to, but could not get on.
Yes, Ralph Pointer sent a message also. We acknowledge the legacy of Father Lucas and his contribution to the political prisoner struggle, specifically the movement to free Lynn Stewart. Free them all. Rest in power, Father Lucas, from Ralph Pointer. And Rosemary's message, greetings, comrades. I do not have a question, but want to thank you for hosting this webinar to commemorate the life of Father Lawrence Lucas. Father Lucas was a liberation theologist, an internationalist. In 1990, when he went with us on the delegation to Cuba in a conference titled Malcolm X Speaks in the 90s, his scholarly reflections were critical contributions to the international participants. His signature and photos are memorialized in my book and photos from the conference. These documents are a testament to his support to the Cuban Revolution and meeting Fidel. We could always rely on him to speak out on U.S. policies attempt to destroy the Cuban Revolution, which he loved. Thank you.
Roger Wareham, December 12th Movement.
I'm going to do the part that's usually considered like the obituary. What we're going to use is a very good article that Herb Boyd put in this week's Amsterdam News. As you can see behind me, maybe for folks who don't have a video camera, pictures of Harriet Tubman, Olivia Hooker, the last survivor of the Tulsa Massacre, and Olive Armstrong, who's one of the original members of the December 12th movement. And Father Lucas was always supportive of sisters in the struggle. And certainly Harriet Tubman embodied his philosophy of how do we defend ourselves. But the article says, to say that Father Lucas was a man of strong convictions is like saying a tsunami is agitated waves. A priest who was a veritable force of nature joined the ancestors last week, according to a notice from the December 12th movement, of which he was one of its founders. Father Lucas, widely known for his relentless advocacy for justice and not one to cower or bite his tongue when enduring controversy, was last in the news 6 years ago, with less fanfare, when he was named a temporary administrator of Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Harlem. For all his accomplishments in the Catholic diocese, Father Lucas was more prominently recognized in the activist community, where his presence was often as loud as it was fervent. His support for a Black educator at a rally outside the Board of Education headquarters in Brooklyn in 1988 is an example of how he could stir up things. Quote, those who are killing us in the classroom, falsely arresting us in the subway, murdering us in the streets, come primarily from the Catholic persuasion, he said. After the reference to police, he added, those who are killing us in the classroom, I do not have to let you tell you what persuasion they come from. You just have to look at the Board of Education, and it looks like the Knesset in Israel, unquote. Lucas, then 54, said his comments were taken out of context, but that meant little to Cardinal O'Connor, who in a statement said that either in or out of context, he could not condone rhetoric that, quote, could be construed by reasonable people as racist, anti-Semitic, and ironically even anti-Catholic, regardless of the intention of the speaker, unquote. Mayor Ed Koch was even more outraged, citing the comments as quote-unquote outrageous. Not a year has gone by since his ordination in 1959 that Father Lucas was not at the center of a social or political issue, particularly as it pertained with his fight against racism or in contention with Mayor Koch. Before his appointment at Lourdes, he had been a retired priest in residence at the parish since 2010, where he was a senior priest from 2009 to 2010. And Herb goes on to cite the different places that Father Lucas served as a chaplain in North General Hospital and the New York City Department of Corrections, which Father Lucas would occasionally have a trip of the tongue. He called the Department of Corruption. He was at Rikers Island, he was at North General Hospital, he was back, he was at Resurrection for the longest time from 1969 to 1992. And he did postgraduate studies at the University of Indianapolis, which I believe it might have been with Betty Dobson. And he was also Charles Borromeo. And it ends by saying he studied at the Priesthood of St. Joseph Seminary. So that's where it ends. And I just wanted to add something. I think if you're going to do an article, an obituary in Father Lucas, you really got to put him in the context of the December 12th movement. And I would just like to add that we must see Father Lucas in that context of the December 12th movement founders. The five of them shared a commitment to revolution for the liberation of Black people, but they each brought particular strengths which made for a unique and formidable leadership. Sonny Abuba, and some of these people were mentioned earlier, Sonny Abubadika Carson had the pulse of the people, of what was happening in the street and what issue would mobilize the community. Coltrane Chimurenga, the field marshal, devised and led the strategy and tactics which consistently confounded the police and made the December 12th movement unstoppable in the streets. Ilombe Brath was the Pan-African intellectual. He was Google before there was Google, who placed our struggle in the worldwide motion for revolution and African liberation. Viola Plummer, as you've heard, developed and articulated the political theory which guided what we did locally, nationally, and internationally. Father Lucas, the fifth member of the founding members, was the spiritual glue. He embodied Black people's rendition of the theology of liberation. Resurrection Church was our liberated zone. He never let the city, the police, or the Catholic hierarchy stop him from serving the people, while reminding us, as people have said, while praising the Lord, never forget to pass the ammunition. These were no armchair revolutionaries. All five of them were in the streets. Together, they made each other better and advanced the struggle for African liberation here and abroad. Our successes could not have happened without Father Lawrence Lucas. Thank you.
We, you know, oftentimes obituaries end with those people who are not the ones that you are eulogizing. And I appreciate Roger and putting Father Lucas in the context of those brothers and myself in terms of our struggle. But indeed, the greatest honor that we could have is that we soldiered with Father Lucas, that we fought with Father Lucas, that we grew because of Father Lucas. We thank you all. Right. I know that Colette, Viola, Roger, Omawali, December 12th movement people, but there were also people in the leadership in the December 12th movement. Father Lucas, I told you he never called me Viola. There was two of us. There was me and Latifah. He would call me Skinny June, and he would say to Latifah, Second Skinny, and that he would make sure that all of us, right, that there was no
Curtis?
Hierarchy. Okay. You know what I mean? That there were.
Okay, let me try to put you on.
It was the December 12th movement. That if the December 12th movement did not have all of the people that you know and all of the people that you have not seen, there would not have been December 12th movement. And so, Roger, for the memories of Father Lucas and his work. I'm appreciative. I say to my comrades, I kind of feel very alone. But then it was always Father Lucas. But there will always be Father Lucas. There will always be Father Lucas. That he will always be with us. We will continue to do his work. We will make sure of the street naming. We will make sure that we get Gail Walker back for the statue of Father Lucas, right? That we put right out in front of Resurrection. We love you. We could not exist without all of you. Father Lucas could not be Father Lucas without all of us and all of you. So never think it was just. It is never just. It is all of us. It is all of us. We love you. We love you.
Viola, can I say, in the spirit of the December 12th movement, what's coming?
Raw!
Who's going to win?
We are.
How are we going to do it?
Hybrid.
And what's the sound of war?
Zoom.
Straight ahead.
Thank you all. Love you, love you, love you. We'll be back in touch.
Well, that wraps things up for this morning. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you had a chance to pay your respects to Father Lawrence Lucas, the great tower of a man who stood up for his people, advanced the cause of liberation theology. And I would like to also take a moment to point out that Father Lucas was a member of the WBAI board, and so he understood the importance of the radio station. He wouldn't have put the time in if he hadn't thought so. His commitment is one that I would like to pass on to you in his memory. I'm going to ask that we honor him and all of the people, the giants who also paid tribute to him on this webcast, by making a donation to WBAI, becoming a member in the name of the station, or renewing your membership, or becoming a WBAI buddy in the name of Good Morning Nueva York. For as little as $10 a month, you can give the station the security to know that we will have income coming in that we can count on. And you will have the security of knowing that WBAI will be here for you through thick and thin, pandemic, through gig workers demanding their rights, through people being shot on the streets, and the fight for justice, and everything else that you believe in and that you live for. So I'm asking you to please become, in the name of Good Morning Nueva York, a WBAI buddy. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Give to WBAI.org. If you want to see more programming like this, the way to encourage it is to become a member of the station or become a buddy and send a signal that you want more programming like this. If you have any questions, you can contact me at king@wbai.org and look out for me on Mondays through Thursdays at this same time from 6 to 8 o'clock. Happy to have a chance to serve you. Father Lawrence Lucas, presente. Time and again, you know they only fight to win. They're the challengers of evil.
in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill him, he's a hero. Get it to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship him, don't let him deal with brothers. Give him guns, step back, watch him kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take my brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.
No changes, all I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes disgrace to racist. We under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the wasted. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. Cause both black and white, it's my tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary's packed and it's filled with blacks. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today.
But you made it in a sleazy way. Selling it back to the kids.
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well, that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
We gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat. Let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the facts, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pips back you up. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops I can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's the sound number two. You say it ain't cool. My mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I got a stage strap. And I never get to lay back. Cause I always got to worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back. Coming back after all these years. Right, tat, 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 tat. That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
You're my brother, you're my sister.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Something will never change.
We at war. We at war with terrorism, racism, but most of all.